there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, good, good. I wasn't sure. I was too busy being preoccupied, Jay, with something I might have done last Christmas.
Jeff, the year was 2023, and you and I were going at the old AMC.
Back in those days.
In Johnston, the last one in Des Moines. And we went and saw a little movie called It's a Wonderful Knife. And in It's a Wonderful Knife, there was a little teaser for a movie called I Know What You Did Last Christmas. And you and I were really excited. Oh, is that going to be the next movie in the It's a Wonderful Knife universe? Are we going to get a spoof on I Know What You Did Last Summer at Christmas? And we were really excited. And that did not happen. We did not get the movie that was promised. Instead, we got this fucking turd.
Oh,
let's deck the halls.
We barely got anything, if you think about it.
This has no connection to, as far as I can tell, this has no connection to It's a Wonderful Knife. This is just so happens that they jumped on the name and grabbed it ahead of time before it could be used by potentially a bigger budget company.
You know, That needs to be made illegal, Jay. I think it really does.
Released October 28th, 2025. God, these people are fucking morons. This is a Christmas movie we're talking about.
Oh, yes. October. Prime Christmas territory.
Couldn't do I Know What You Did Last Halloween, and then you and I might never find it. No, it said had to name it Christmas.
Yeah, that's our curse.
Directed by Gregory William Randolph Jr. And written by C.M. Wright. And they have an upcoming movie called Dracula in Space. And when I heard that, I went, oh, that sounds really exciting. And then I watched this movie and I went, well, I don't think Dracula in Space will be any good either.
You know, Jay, I don't know, because there's some things this movie does right, but there are also some things this movie does terribly, terribly wrong.
Lauren Sterk plays Cassie, and we will see her again in The Killing Tree and Curse of Jack Frost.
Now, don't confuse Cassie with the dead girl, Jay.
Millie. Shaylee Reagan plays Amber. Connor Harrigan is Nico. Helen Baird is Jules. Alfie Manser is Sam. Julia Quayle is Lilla. Spelled Lila. Spelled L-I-L-A, but pronounced Lilla.
More British tomfoolery, I'm guessing.
She is in Leprechaun, The Beginning, and will be in the upcoming Krampus in Space, which apparently is not connected to BC-14 in any way, shape, or form.
Damn.
Dan Robbins is Trey and is in Return of Krampus. Not The Return of Krampus, Return of
Just
Krampus.
Return of Krampus, okay.
Ashley Bedford is Dax. Katarina Todd is Aaron. Leona Clark is Ashley. I don't know who Ashley. I don't recall an Ashley.
I watched this movie yesterday and rewatched it this morning, Jay, and I barely recall who any of these people are.
Well, that raises further questions, because there Ashley is named dropped in the movie, but I don't believe we ever see Ashley.
No, I don't think we do.
But Curse of Jack Frost. Tagline: someone is. Someone is removing these friends from the naughty list forever.
Kind of a clunky tagline.
I don't have anything else other than where to watch if you dare cross these waters. Here be monsters on Tubi.
Tubi. You know, Jay, honestly, when you told me the title, before I even knew anything about it, I'm like, that's a Tubi, isn't it? And it was.
I was, Jeff, excited by the title. I went, oh, that could be fun. And even the premise, I was like, okay, that's what I would expect from a thing called I Know What You Did Last Christmas that has nothing to do with the I Know What You Did Last Summer franchise. Like, all right, I could go for that. And then I saw the movie.
So, unfortunately, Tubi hides budgets. So there's only rumored budgets, but the one I found said about $300,000 to $350,000.
That's a...
And I was like, what the hell did they spend it on?
The place that they rented out, the Airbnb that they rented out to film the movie in.
The Ski Lodge Airbnb, maybe? I don't know. And so many accents, Jay. It's a spinning vortex of accents. There's a Canadian, an Australian, a South African, a British guy.
And like, and then, yeah, just like a normal, like, American accent.
American guy.
And we're just like, all right, this is our crew.
And they're all friends, and they all went to university together. I love how the American guy says university, you know, like they do.
Like they do.
I remember when Jay and I were in university.
let's flash back to that.
Jeff, lock them out of the house!
Yes!
We're doing a prank! We gotta lock these people out of this house!
Let's prank them by making them freeze to death, Jay. Pranked.
Prank! Oh, what a delightful delightful time in university that was.
I hope nobody sends me a horribly handwritten letter about what I did.
In the mail, but it's just addressed to Jeff.
Yes, I was like, how the hell did these letters arrive?
Either don't have the stamp on them or have there be an address. But instead it's just a name, but there is a stamp on each envelope.
Yes. Well, obviously, Jay, there's only one Jeff in town. So they were like, yeah, Jeff.
Or my favorite, Dax's letter, which is addressed to Dex.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there was a last minute script change, and we can't just be going back and altering props, Jay.
All right. So we'll start with our synopsis here. We see some snow blowing and then a body laying in a field frozen dead. We will learn that that was Millie's body.
Oh, God.
We then see Cassie standing on a gravel road, trees being like lit in multiple different colors around her, and a guy in a Santa suit with like an all black featureless mask.
Got a gimp mask on.
I was like, there is some band that like wears like white versions of this mask, and I believe it's I had to do some research, but I believe they're called like Jabberwockies.
Mm.
They wear like a white, but it's like an all black version of that mask, and then a Santa suit and a Santa beard, but the beard, the mouth is under the chin the whole time, but the space is still visible.
You noticed that too, huh?
Sure did.
Although I will say, decent quality Santa suit.
He's dragging, the Santa's behind her, dragging a sack. Then we cut to, like, a shot of the sack being dragged on the ground, and Cassie rips open the sack and crawls out. And then now she's standing in front of the killer, and she stabs him, and then he, like, lunges at her, and she wakes up. It was all a dream. And you would think, well, it was all a dream, like... How would she know what the killer of this movie looks like? But somehow she knows exactly what he looks like.
It's the guy from my dream. At that point, I was
and it like, will never be addressed.
I was like, so is this like a common character in this universe? Gimp Santa? I mean, is it like Futurama where the killer robot Santa's just known?
Everyone knows Gimp Santa. We see a letter addressed just to Cassie with a stamp on it and a note that says... Let's make this Christmas one to remember. One night, one reunion, one last chance to make things right. M. Title card. I know what you did last Christmas.
I saw somebody trying to be like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe he just came by and dropped it in their mailboxes or whatever. And I'm like, then why would he use a stamp?
Why is there a stamp on each letter?
I just feel like wasting a stamp.
One or the other, not both. Yes. Especially in I Know What You Did Last Summer. All the letters are mailed, I believe. Yes. Like,
they're actual letters that they get in the mail. Yeah.
No, somehow these were just delivered when it's just people's names written on. And the people at the post office knew that when they wrote Dex, they actually meant Dax.
Yes, of course. And, you know, everybody knows there's only one Cassie, Jay,
in the entire town.
Yes, in the entire country.
Cassie drives her car as a royalty-free version of Carol of the Bells plays on the radio.
Nice.
She pulls up to this, like, large vacation Airbnb.
I don't want to be that guy, because I know it's because movie, but why are these people coming to this?
I don't know.
A mysterious note from no one in particular. Oh, yes, I'll drive to the middle of nowhere.
I have no idea. We see on her phone that she has no Wi-Fi out at this country estate. Gee. Not no signal.
No Wi-Fi.
Specifically the no Wi-Fi signal.
Don't worry, they're going to address no signal later. Because they're like, oh shit, we forgot earlier.
But then later on, people will have signal to get phone calls.
Yes. There's simultaneously no signal and no Wi-Fi.
Cassie walks through the house saying hello 6 times in a scene that lasts 3.5 minutes.
Gotta get this baby up to feature length.
With what in a better movie would be like foreshadowing shots of things that will happen to the characters in the movie. But since this is this movie, it's just padding. Some of the shots look really nice, but like, this isn't what we're doing. This.
No, Jay. No. See, it's establishing the fact that she's lost because of what happened to her. That's it. I'm making the case this is an art film now.
Cassie then runs into Amber, who was just passed out behind the bar for some reason, and she never noticed.
That's also a symbol of what happened to her and her trauma, which will be unveiled later.
And shows her that she got a card as well. Cassie mentions that the oven is on, and Amber says, that's weird, and they go and they check it and take out the fakest looking gingerbread cookies you've ever seen out of the oven.
And also, you're Cassie. You're walking into this place. You're concerned that the oven is on and don't see anyone around. Why not just turn it off?
Yeah, why not turn it off?
See what's baking.
Or leave.
Yeah, when you get to a place you were invited to, my mysterious, somehow mailed, but also impossible to mail letter with no specifics in it at all, and you get there and it's a creepy empty house, maybe leave.
Cassie says she's going to leave, but then her ex Nico walks up. I assume he came from a car because he's parked just out of sight of the camera.
Sure.
Because later on, when another person arrives, they're literally walking up the driveway.
They have the quantum parking lot from the Apology, Jay, where cars are parked simultaneously very close and very far away.
Nico shows that he also got an envelope. Trey and Aaron show up, and Trey is immediately the most annoying person in this entire film.
I think you mean the most alpha person in this entire film.
They also got envelopes. Dax then walked here, as we literally see him like dragging his suitcase along the driveway. And then instead of going in, he sits down out back and starts to doodle in his little coloring book.
Yeah. I mean, he's a cool guy, Jay. He doesn't follow the beat of the mainstream drum.
Lilla shows up, places her envelope down, and asks if that's everyone. Also, we see that Dax is now inside and has set his envelope down, but it's addressed to Dex.
How would they know if it's everyone? They don't know who invited them or what group of people are being invited.
It isn't everyone, because then immediately Jules shows up, and then Nico asks if that's everyone, and they say it is.
But it's not.
But it's not, because Sam shows up.
And how would they know if it was everyone?
And then Cassie says, that's all of us then.
Yo, well, I'm glad. You see, Jay, what you didn't see is right off camera, there was the script laying there. And you saw the list of people who were supposed to be there.
I'm glad we wasted like 15 to 20 minutes of this movie of Cassie walking around saying hello. And then people asking, Is that everyone? Is this everyone?
Jay, listen to me. Okay, all the great indie films have long scenes of people walking and talking to themselves to kill time, and then long scenes of characters arriving for the plot.
Time passes, and Lilla asks if they're going to talk about what happened and why they're all there, and Trey's like,
can we not, please?
You're right, Ashley, sis. We have not been introduced to an Ashley. There is an Ashley in the credits that we never see. Who the fuck is Ashley? Or I guess there's an Ashley on the IMDb page. I didn't check the actual credits.
I don't know, Jay. Maybe everybody's not here. We had Sam arrive late. Maybe there's somebody still coming.
Trey then accuses someone of blackmailing all of them. Nico and Cassie talk, and he's like, it's been a year, and it was just bad luck. And that's all he'll say.
Okay. First of all, how do you know everyone's there and why they're there? Second of all, how are they blackmailing you? Literally, there were no demands. It wasn't like, come or else in the letter or whatever. It was like, come for a raging party, bro. Everyone, big hangout.
So far, all we can be able to guess is the girl outside died somehow. and it's maybe connected to all of these people in some way.
Maybe, but we literally have no way of knowing that.
Because this movie would rather tell us every single plot point, tell us badly, and the plot points don't make sense, than show us a single fucking thing. And the one time it decides to show us, you literally have no idea what's going on.
Yes. Completely out of context, frozen woman in the snow.
They find a bunch of presents, and it's all things that it's like addressed to each of them, but it's all things from their past, I guess. But we don't see everybody's present. We just see that like Jules gets a flask and she has a drinking problem. And it's just implied that everyone else's present also applies to them. But then they talk about how like all 10 of us, you know, Millie plus the other 9, except there are 10 of them because Sam is there.
But it's a... So this is another thing that doesn't make any sense. It's supposed to be an item from their past, which one, how do these people get it? That makes no sense anyway. But two, so she started drinking when they did this horrible thing last Christmas. So that's not really from her past. That's from her current life. It's not like she's left that far in the rearview mirror. It was 1 year ago.
And then there is one last gift. It's a snow globe with Billy's picture inside. Someone mentioned something about not letting her in. Another one says it was an accident.
And, it's an accident.
So whatever happened to cause Billy to freeze to death must have been wild. It certainly won't be the dumbest thing you've ever seen in your life.
No, Jay, you know what? I want to echo the sentiments of a character later on in one of my favorite lines in the movie. Fuck you and fuck Millie. And fuck this movie is what he should have finished with.
And then a fuse gets tripped.
Yes, of course. We have to establish there's unreliable power in here for things later, Jay.
Erin goes to film content for her fitness blog or vlog or yes. Probably OnlyFans page.
I was going to say a fitness thought, of course, Jay.
Trey yells at Cassie, which makes her and Nico leave. And then Trey leaves to find the fuse box. Erin finds the weight room, lifts one barbell, does one curl, and then says, nice.
You think... Trey literally says, you guys think this place has a fuse box or something? No, it runs on a completely novel source of power, never before seen. Of course it has a fuse box. It's a human house.
Erin does one curl. I did. Later on, we will see her go take a shower, and then she will go back to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
She did one curl with that weight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not about the curl, Jay. It's about the clothes she's wearing.
Cassie can't find her keys.
I can't find my keys, Jay.
This will be a plot point for most of the movie.
My keys.
Trey goes outside looking for the fuse box and he sees a hot tub and says the line of the movie, all right, hot tub. I'm coming in you later to the hot tub.
Indeed.
Dude, that's real gross. Don't just come in hot tubs. Other people are going to use this.
I mean, everybody's doing it, Jay. Why not? There's a reason that people get gross infections in hot tubs.
Because Trey's coming in all of them.
Exactly.
That, to me, doesn't even... Also, I don't know how many takes they had. There wasn't a take where he doesn't say, I'm going to come in that hot tub. Like...
No.
In a normal way. Doesn't say, oh, I'm going to use... a hot tub. Nice. I'll use that later. Or something. No, he literally says to the hot tub, I'm going to come in you later.
Actually, Jay, they did multiple takes, and that was the most usable one. You don't want to hear what he said during the other ones.
Oh, no, nothing gets my dick harder than a hot tub.
Fucking bricked up.
Trey then sees a fire going, walks up to it, warms his hands for like 2 seconds, and then finds the fuse box.
Yes.
He turns it on.
I'm glad this place had one.
He turns it on as an inflatable penguin starts up behind him. He then sees that it's addressed to him, and then the killer Santa from Cassie's dream appears behind him. He runs, trips over literally nothing, and then gets impaled with a giant candy cane yard stake.
Not very alpha, Trey.
Through the neck.
Which I gotta say, there's some good Christmas violence in this movie. I'll give it that.
Yep. Nico continues to follow Cassie around like a lost puppy.
I'll miss you.
Sam asks Dax if he's seen the missing keys, and Dax says something weird about missing keys being poetic. Oh, missing keys. It's poetic, don't you think?
It's poetic. No. You're locked out and lost like Millie was back when we let her freeze to death. Oh, wait, we'll talk about that later.
She lost her keys, you lost your keys. It's poetic, isn't it? No, it's not.
Every time they talked about the fucking keys, all I could picture was the America Dad episode where Steve gets shocked by the car battery, and then the firefighter thinks he has psychic powers to find the keys, starts hacking holes in the walls of the house and stuff.
Cassie and Nico talk about Millie's death, and we finally get our flashback to the big prank, the big inciting incident.
Huge prank.
Millie walks out of the house crying, and Nico and Trey just go and lock the door behind her.
Pranked.
And it's cold and snowing, and when she goes to get let back in, they just pull the curtain closed. And she freezes to death as everyone parties inside.
Even though she would almost certainly either be on a college campus or in a neighborhood. There's no other building she can go to, Jay. She just has to stay outside and freeze to death.
And, like, Cassie was sitting right there. Never goes like, hey, guys, let her in. No, they just lock her out.
Actually, Jay, I need you to go out of your front door real quick. I got a wacky prank I'm going to play on you.
Nico and Cassie kiss, but Cassie is still broken up about Millie, as Nico keeps reiterating that it was just a prank.
It was a prank. It's just a prank, bro. That's one of my favorite lines.
Aaron goes to film some fitness content and is doing sit-ups as the killer Santa just drops the biggest barbell he can find across her stomach. She doesn't try to move or get out of the way or anything. She just screams as he does it.
You actually missed the part where Trey was leering at her from the side, Jay, and he was like, if I was in a hot tub right now.
The killer Santa then wraps Christmas lights around her throat and then... ties them to like a stationary bike pedal and basically like strangles her by winding up the pedal of the bike.
Excellent. Good kill.
And the lights are plugged in, so it looks really good.
It's good. I liked it.
Jules and Amber accuse each other of doing all this.
You're doing all of this. All of this what? What is happening?
They've yet to find a body. Lila finds Aaron's body and Amber and Cassie go to comfort her.
You know what, Jay? I'm just going to preemptively say, you're doing all this. We'll figure out what it's about later.
They all blab about some shit they've blabbed about for the entirety of the movie.
Oh, my God.
Sam and Nico then agree to walk to town for help. And while they're doing so, they find Trey's body. Lila leaves the others, and then so does Dax.
You know what the contrived tension in this movie made me think of? Another American Dad episode, Blood Crieth Unto Heaven, Jay, where there's a secret. Remember that secret we talked about, Jay? But it's not time to reveal the secret yet.
Lila runs into the killer and then runs out of the house screaming, runs into Nico, who's been stabbed in the leg, she just runs past him. And somehow the killer Santa has gotten ahead of her. She like stops in front of the hot tub, the famous hot tub.
The hot tub, yes.
She stops in front of it as Santa jumps out of the hot tub.
Oh boy.
Pulls her in and then drowns her. And come on, dude, that's real unsanitary. Trey was coming in there.
He never got the chance, Jay. He was going to.
And then the killer just walks out of the hot tub sopping wet.
Yes, in the freezing cold.
In the supposedly freezing cold. Mm-hmm. And then the next time we will see the killer, there's no water anywhere. There's no...
The driest man that's ever been.
Also, Nico was like stabbed in the leg literally 20 feet from where she gets murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And the killer just walks right back past it because we will see him in the exact same spot in like 30 minutes.
Jay, he needs to be alive for the finale. I can't kill him yet. It's in the script right over there off camera.
In his room, Dax gets a phone call from the killer Santa saying, I know what you did.
7 days.
Then Dax just starts like convulsing and smiling and saying, no. As though he's in a hot tub, I guess.
I guess. He must have hot tubbed himself to death, Jay.
I have no idea what is happening in this scene.
Well, his mate couldn't run around to the Tesco and replenish his salts, Jay. He died from doing...
He just came to death.
Yes, he died from hot tubbing too much. It can happen.
Cassie and Amber go looking for anyone, I guess.
Yes.
Cassie goes to Dex's room where she hears him like pounding on a door, and there's like a cabinet in the room that moves when she gets close to it.
Yeah.
That scares her.
Magic cabinet. Yeah.
But then she finds his body behind the bar.
Yeah. Yep, yep. You're describing the chain of events accurately.
Amber and Jules antagonize each other in the kitchen, and then the Santa just jumps out and like grabs Amber's legs.
Of course.
Once again, not sopping wet.
Dry as a bone, Jay. Dry as a bone.
Cassie finds Lilla's body in the cum-filled hot tub.
As you do.
Santa chases Jules, who just kind of beats the shit out of him with like pool balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then takes off his mask to reveal that it was Sam.
I'm shocked.
Cassie finds Nico, where Lilla just left him, still stabbed in the leg, and then she just walks right past him back into the house. Jules tells Amber that she got him, and Amber hugs her before she stabs Jules in the gut with the most spirit Halloween looking knife you've ever seen.
Indeed.
Sam comes to, knocks Cassie out, and then gets Nico, who, instead of just sitting outside, decided to start crawling to safety, I guess.
Very, very late, yes, decided it was time to crawl.
As God Rest You Merry Gentlemen plays on the soundtrack. Nico and Cassie come to, and they are tied up, and Amber reveals that she and Millie were in love with each other, and her indecision in regards to those feelings was why Millie was crying, but none of this explains why they locked her outside.
I don't know, Jay.
Also, Amber says Cassie and Nico haven't talked for 3 years. but the events were a year ago.
No, Jay.
The movie's literally called I Know What You Did Last Christmas.
I Know What You Did 3 Christmases Ago. Okay, maybe the writing's not the most consistent thing in the world. But this movie, it has the fact that it's only 71 minutes, yet feels like a 3-hour film.
Oh my God, it drags. Nico yells a bunch and Amber slits his throat.
Finally.
About damn time.
I gotta say, the only good actor in this entire movie is the girl who plays Amber.
Yes, agreed. Yes. Cassie is able to get a pair of scissors and cuts herself free and then stabs Amber in the shoulder, maybe?
I guess.
She runs, is chased by Sam, who she hits with a frying pan, then leaves the house. Sam chases her. She runs back inside the house, hides under the pool table, and he's about to, like, get her, and he just runs straight at her while she's holding a pool cue, mm-hmm. and he impales himself on it. It is a regular pool cue. He either was running super fast or he has paper skin. There is no other explanation.
No, Jay. You see, what happened was they had to give her some plausible way of killing him, even though it's like impossible in the state she's in. So he had to impale himself on the nearest object.
Cassie goes back to talk to Nico's corpse, but Amber sits up. Cassie, who has not been hurt at all yet, crawls across the ground while an injured Amber walks fine behind her.
Walks very slowly.
She gets to Cassie and starts to strangle her, just for Cassie to grab a candy cane and stab her in the eye with it.
Nice candy cane.
Also, great kill. Love it. It is a unsucked on candy cane. I'm not saying that you couldn't stab someone in the eye with a blunt tipped candy cane, but it would be a lot cooler if it had like a pointy tip on it. Cassie walks out the front door and an instrumental Silent Night plays as snow begins to fall. Credits start to roll as an upbeat version of Jingle Bells plays. Just completely out of nowhere.
For fuck's sake. Why did you do this to me?
I didn't. The wheel did.
No, you did it. I read the threatening letter, Jay. You did it. In fact, you're specifically blamed.
It knows what I did the last time I made us watch I Know What You Did Last Christmas.
Yes.
All right, that was a breeze for a movie that is 71 minutes and feels like it takes forever. We breezed through that synopsis in no time.
Indeed, Jay. It's almost like there was no substance or anything to talk about.
Literally, a thing you and I have mentioned a couple times before, like movies where it's like all like, oh, it's like four girls and it's hard to keep all of them straight because like they're all interchangeable. Mm-hmm. Every single one of these fucking characters is interchangeable. I do not care who a single one of these characters are.
Yes, the only one who's even semi-identifiable is Amber. Like I said, you could keep pretty easy track of her. The rest of them might as well just be stock character.
The first time I watched the movie, I watched Jules get killed. And then I was sitting there and I went, wait, is there a third person who's also still alive? Because I had forgotten how many fucking people had died.
I mean, it's easy to do, Jay. It's very easy to do because the reasons they're being killed make no sense. Their presence here makes no sense. The movie basically doesn't even need to happen. You know, if I got a handwritten yet somehow post office delivered non-addressed envelope in the mail, Jay, I would probably read it and then throw it away. In fact, I don't even know if I would touch it because I'm like, there's probably anthrax on there. I'm gonna go ahead and toss this.
I know. We lived through 2001. We know what this means.
We know an anthrax letter when we see one. But no, I mean, really, what can you even talk about? I was so bored during this movie. I was getting ready to fall asleep before it finally picked up a little bit at the very end.
So I split it into two watches. I watched 30 minutes one night. I watched 30 minutes the next night. And then when I went back to take my notes, I like made it about 30 minutes into the movie. And then I just started skipping forward on Tubi 10 seconds at a time until something happened because I couldn't do it anymore.
You know, and this is the fucking scary part is it was barely up to feature length. I mean, the bare minimum you could say for feature is 70 minutes. This is 71 minutes, but it feels like it takes forever.
It feels like 3 hours. It feels like the longest movie you've ever
this
watched.
Is like, basically, this movie is one episode of like an HBO show, and yet it feels like forever.
All right, well, which categories do you want to start with?
I don't. You know what? Let's start with something that we could be positive about. Let's talk about the sets and costumes.
All right, Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, sound mixing, etc.
They picked a cool place to shoot it. I liked the house.
No, I thought the house was really cool. I think that'd be a neat place to stay.
The Christmas decorations were cool.
Yeah, they were decent.
Yeah, I liked them. I was like, this seems like one of those movies where they wouldn't pay attention to that and it would be garbage. But no, it's actually pretty solid.
Like, I wish there were more, but I liked what we got.
And I like the fact that they're actually used in some of the kills, too.
Agreed. One thing I do want to say is the actress who plays Amber, the white dress she's wearing has a brown stain about butt crack length.
You know,
right about butt crack area, and it is there the entire movie.
You notice that too.
I think the first time I didn't notice it until towards the end of the movie, and I went, "Why is there a brown stain on her butt?"
Is that a borrowed dress? I hope.
And then went back and went on. I was watching it the second time. It's literally there from like the opening scene. She just shit herself. Yeah. And I
mean, you know what, Jay? Sometimes you shouldn't trust a fart, especially in a white dress. That's all I could say about that. Santa suit, though. I like the Santa suit.
I like the Santa suit. I hated the mask.
Yes, other than the awkward mask beard part, I thought the suit itself was pretty good quality. Which is it's surprising because this is the kind of movie you would assume would be the dollar store Santa suit.
Find like the Spirit Halloween Santa suit.
That looks horrible.
When they also got the Spirit Halloween knife.
Yes, I was going to say, honestly, I am very surprised honestly, I think that's one of the only bad props in the movie is that knife.
I literally saw that knife and I went, I've stalked that knife before.
He's like, I stalked that hot tub. Oh yeah, hot tub.
Well,
it's just full of maybe they're American Dad fans, because it's full of American Dad references.
You know you want to get in the tub. All right, well, speaking of hot tubs, let's do Christmas Carol's favorite quotes.
Go on to something a little less positive. Some of the writing in this movie. We haven't talked in 3 years, Jay.
Cassie, Amber, Aaron, and Trey, in case you are wondering, that's Nico. And then Dax, forever the misunderstood artist. I wasn't. And then I didn't get the second half of this line, but Nika's like, I missed you, Dax. And Dax is like, no, you didn't.
A little Dax quote for you that we talked about, Jay. I lost my keys. Poetic. Lost your keys. Feeling lost, just like her, I bet.
What? I'm Sam. I'm not sure if you remember Sam. Dax. Yeah, I remember you. Weirdos remember weirdos. All right.
We don't need to inquire any further about that.
Sam, Millie was so smart. Nico, yeah, I guess she was. What?
Nico, fuck you and fuck Millie. And like I said, should add, fuck this movie.
Sam, I never liked you fuckers anyway. Me neither, dude. Me neither.
Same. We all loved this is between Cassie and Amber. We all loved Millie. No, I loved her, you dumb bitch.
That was a good one.
It's like, finally, somebody said it.
And then, the greatest line of all time. All right, hot tub. I'm coming in you later.
Oh, yeah.
That's gonna be great.
Mm-hmm. You know it. That's a man right there, Jay.
Trey, talking about his hot tub coming fetish.
Let me finish with a Trey quote for you, Jay. Wonder if this place has, like, a fuse box or something. I'm gonna go look. No, it's the one building with power that doesn't have a fuse box.
In the entirety of Britain, there is one building with electricity that somehow doesn't have a fuse box.
That's right, Jay.
Oh, this movie.
Are you feeling good yet?
No, I hate it.
This movie makes me feel alive. You know, because every time we scrape the bottom of the barrel, you got that secret fear in you, Jay. That's like, is this the basement? Are we done finding sub-basements, Jay? But no, we broke into another one.
I don't know. I think this might be the same sub-basement that Christmas Craft Fair Massacre was
in. You know what? Honestly, I would say that, except for the fact that Christmas Craft Fair Massacre doesn't make any mistakes in its own terrible plot, at least within itself. I mean, it makes all kinds of mistakes other than that, but it at least keeps the plot together. Because this doesn't even know how many years ago these things were supposed to have happened or who was involved.
I wonder, of course, like, IMDb has none of this information.
Why would they?
But I wonder if originally it had a different name, and then they went, oh, we could call it I Know What You Did Last Christmas.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They changed everything to be last year instead of 3 years ago.
Except they forgot
that one line, and then no one decided to change
it. Kind of like how they forgot that Dex was supposed to be Dax.
Yep.
On that prop, yeah. I could totally see that being the whole reason behind it. But yes, I'll give Christmas Craft Fair Massacre that. At least they know what they're doing. It's stupid, but they know what they're doing.
Christmas Spirit, How Christmassy Is the Movie? How Christmassy Are the Kills? Movie, barely.
Barely. It could have literally happened at any time. In fact, it makes even less sense for it to happen at Christmas because they would have been on Christmas break from university.
Yep. Also, Jeff... It doesn't feel like Christmas. I had to double check with people I know in the UK. I sent them a still from the movie. And I went, does this track with what Christmas looks like over there? Like, before I rip this movie to shreds, does this track? And after some discussion, they went, well, no, the trees wouldn't be that green. Like, all the leaves would have fallen off. And I'm like, that's what I thought. Every single tree is vibrantly green. This was clearly filmed in the summer.
Of course, but then we get to the positive part. Kills very Christmassy.
Yes. One, Santa, a weird...
Gimp Santa.
A weird Gimp Santa.
That's what he's going on the naughty list as.
Is murdering people, and we get a handful of very Christmassy kills, and then a couple, like, kills that are... Yeah. But, like...
We don't have the budget. Go.
It's like the first two are great.
Mm.
Like, very Christmassy, and then they're like, all right, we did a candy cane. We did Christmas lights, and then the kill at the end with the candy cane. Mm. All right, we've got those. What other Christmas things can we do? Drown somebody in a cum-filled hot tub.
Yes.
Somebody cums themselves to death.
Yeah, yeah. He's no... He was overcome with Christmas spirit. That's what happened to him. Overcome with Christmas spirit.
Of course.
Yes. Of course. Of course. Jay's will to live is being... I'm surprised that this has drained this much of his energy.
This was...
If you could see him, he's visibly slouched forward. Shoulders are dropped. He's looking at the floor.
This was a rough watch. Broken bulb, brilliant bulb. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
I don't know if there's any way we could possibly improve this movie, Jay. It'd be too hard.
Go back in time and pay for the writer and director to get filmmaking classes. Because literally the entire movie is telling, not showing.
Yes, yes.
And then the one opportunity they have to show us what happened, you're literally going, they just locked the door. That's the big prank.
You're giving no context clues or anything at all, basically. Just, yeah, they locked her out. Well, crazy.
You could have showed us like all of the shit you talked about.
No,
instead I would rather have people sit in a circle and tell you about them.
My broken bulb was they need to figure out what the story of the movie is before they shoot it, which, I mean, might tie into filmmaking classes, but also just general sense. I mean, when you're telling a story, you kind of want to know where it's going, who it involves, and how it's going to wrap up. I honestly feel like when they were shooting this, they didn't know how it was going to end until like the day before they shot the ending.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's pretty obvious based off of Dex and 3 years ago.
They just show up. People show up and leave randomly because obviously some of these people did not shoot their scenes together, and that's painfully obvious. They must have had like, oh, I can only make it up on Tuesdays or whatever. I don't know what was going on with the filming of this, but yeah, there's like no cohesive story to this. It's a bunch of people show up for seemingly no reason. Like, there's no threat. There's no implied, because the whole thing is like, oh, we're going to reveal that what happened or whatever if you don't come. That's the conceit of I Know What You Did Last Summer or whatever. It's like they're going to expose a secret.
Yeah, like, yes, I know they think they are responsible for the death of someone. And the person who's actually responsible is basically trying to frame them. Yes. Sorry, spoilers for a almost 30-year-old movie at this point.
Yeah, but no. So basically, all they do is they show up here for no reason. They talk about why they think they're here, even though they somehow know that everyone who's here is supposed to be here, except for they're wrong twice. And then they proceed to wander around the house aimlessly with no goal, even after they figured out that obviously this is not a party or whatever it said in the invitation.
This felt more like the shitty 2025 I Know What You Did Last Summer, where it's like, if you just told the cops what happened, no one would be mad.
I mean,
like,
this is not...
If you just say, oh, this is what happened. If they just told the cops, yeah, sorry, like, as a prank, we locked her out of the house. We didn't expect her to freeze to death.
Yes, that's the whole point I was building to here is this was not a crime. Okay, you don't have to let somebody back in your house if you lock them out or whatever. That's not, and you cannot have a reasonable expectation that someone will lay down in the snow and freeze to death if you lock them out of the house. This would not be a chargeable crime.
Right.
I don't even know what they're hiding or what they're worried about. It's like, yes, it was a shitty thing to do, and it's a tragedy that she died or whatever, but it is not, like, they're not legally culpable for her dying.
Like, it's mind-numbingly stupid. Like,
if you do a hit and run on somebody and you don't tell anybody about it, yeah, that's a crime.
And then you hide the body like they did in the original movie.
Yes, that is a crime. Locking somebody out of your house and then them freezing to death is not a crime.
Yep.
That's the biggest... Like I said, this movie has no story. There is nothing here.
I wonder if they had only seen the 2025 I Know What You Did Last Summer and went, ah, close enough.
Yeah, we're making it.
This must be what all the movies are about.
I don't know. Maybe, is that a crime in England?
Yeah, I think it is. I don't fucking know.
Well, I locked you out of my house and you decided to lay down and freeze to death. There you go. And also, English winters, are they bad enough for you to freeze to death?
I guess they could be. Like, I mean, but based off of what we see
how long,
in the movie, no.
How long would it take? I mean, how cold do they even get there?
I don't know. Their temperatures are all weird, too. You have to do conversions. True. Let me see.
How cold does it get in England? Because I know it gets cold in Scotland, but they're way further north.
Right now in England, also we're unseasonably warm. It's 41 degrees.
Yes, it says their winters average 32 to 45 degrees. There could be cold snaps lower, but that very rarely happens. And the usual absolute low is 14. So you would have to be outside a long time to freeze to death.
And I don't know, maybe Trey and Sam were willing to walk to town. Fucking walk to town, Millie.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, how far away could she have possibly been from other people at this place? Two, it's not that cold. Just pick a direction and start walking. I mean, yep. I don't, when it's 45 here in Iowa, I don't even wear a coat.
Right.
But, you know, that's beside, again, Jay, I'm trying to think of this as a real movie and not whatever the fuck this was.
Well, brilliant bulb, thing you want to praise.
The kills. I thought there were some creative kills. I appreciated that they actually used some Christmas themed props in the kills, because there's so many movies that have so many Christmas decorations to hand and they never get used for anything.
The eye gouge with the candy cane is great. The neck slit, like when Nico gets his throat slit, that looks awesome. The candy cane kill is fantastic. The I would say the weakest one is either, you know, Dax cumming himself to death, or, you know, I guess the guy getting impaled on the thing, or what's her name getting drowned. Like, I had a little issue with the, like, I liked what they did with the strangling with the Christmas lights, but like, there was a lot of fake blood.
Yeah.
But like, even I still, mean, like, yeah, it's still
cool.
It's still solid.
Yeah. But yeah,
no, and a great idea.
Yeah, that was definitely. I was like, in a movie where they dropped the ball on so many other things, it would have been so easy to just half-ass the kills, because there's a lot of movies that even you and I would consider to be decent movies that have shitty kills.
Yep.
And this has surprisingly pretty good kills.
Yeah. Like, yeah, whoever did the effects actually did a really good job.
They actually gave a shit, apparently. Maybe that's where the budget went.
Well, Jeff, every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho 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 hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry?
I don't know. Seeing how it's affected you, I may have to change my rating.
I wouldn't blend it.
I've gotten a lot of laughs out of this review, so I don't know.
Is this what Bloodbeat is like for other people?
Yes. That is a great example, actually. Yes, this is very Bloodbeat-esque in its storytelling. I wonder if they went to the same school as that French guy who moved to America and then shacked up with a widow to fund his movie.
Did a bunch of drugs.
Shot it half for TV.
I wish these fucking people had done a bunch of drugs. We might have gotten a better movie.
That's true. This movie felt very sober. I'll give you that. But no. I mean, it's You'll Be Sorry. You shouldn't watch this. Like I said, there's some redeeming factors in like the kills, and there's some funny shit to us because of how many terrible horror movies and Christmas horror movies we've seen. But for like the average person who's going to watch this is going to be a snooze fest. Boring, terrible.
Because it was for us too.
I mean, like, yes, it was for us too, but we can pick out things that we enjoy about it just because of our of our own sick interest in these things. But not, I know it's hard to believe, Jay, but not everybody's actually horror Christmas perverts.
That's
like
fair. I would assume most of our listeners are. But
I mean, maybe. We'll see.
My final rating's also You Will Be Sorry. This is as bad as Christmas Craft Fair Massacre. The plot is nonsense. The acting is god-awful. The prank is literally maybe the dumbest thing I've ever seen in film history.
It's not a prank. I mean, it's really not anything. They just locked the door. They could have done it by accident.
The movie kind of feels like a ripoff of Mrs. Claus, a movie we have not done yet. Like, with a tragic event happened and now, like, people are getting punished. That movie is lower budget than this, with a worse, no, honestly, a better costume. The costume's bad, but is better than this. And the kills are about the same level.
See, that could have been more interesting. Have it be an accident that she got locked out. Like, the party was too loud, somebody locked the door without thinking about it, and she froze to death outside. Because they're, like, established that they're, like, in the middle of nowhere. That's whatever.
The thing. I think the other... Let's see, 12, take four people out, you got eight. The other eight people weren't aware she was there. So yeah, there are eight people who aren't at fault in this situation.
But yeah, see, something like that would have made it more interesting. But instead, it was a prank. Oh yeah, the you know, Jay, that prank where you lock your door. Pranked you.
Prank.
It's like on the level of some of these YouTube pranksters. Be like, haha, got you to sign over your house to me. Prank.
If you want a good UK Christmas horror movie, watch what we watched last year. Watch Good Tidings. That's my final thing. Like, Good Tidings is amazing compared to this.
Watch anything else.
Yes, watch anything else. But specifically, if you want something from the UK, that is, you know, don't watch Mother Krampus. That's pretty bad too. But watch Good Tidings. Good Tidings is actually a solid movie.
Oh, yeah, I want to call out Matt Dupre. I'm calling you out, Matt. I know you're listening. You listen to every episode, I know. He probably doesn't.
I'm sure he doesn't. But he's a busy guy.
I'm calling you out. You watch this, and then you watch Bikini Bloodbath Christmas, and you tell me which one is better.
I mean, he has said he plans on doing a revised edition, and I cannot wait to see what he has to say about this fucking turd.
I'd love to see this in there. You know, it's a historic event, Jay, when you find a movie that is worse than the movie that has an actual plot about a turd in it.
Like that, Bikini Bloodbath Christmas, I did not like it. I would say Bloodbeat and Bikini Bloodbath Christmas are for each other. Those are each other's, like, movie of that time.
My dark mirror.
But, like... Bikini Bloodbath Christmas made me chuckle and not, and like, because they were actually doing some funny stuff.
Yes.
This is literally just the dumbest fucking shit I've ever seen.
I know what you did three Christmases ago, Jay, or was it one? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Who cares? Literally, that's honestly, that's what it feels like. The writer, like, halfway through this is like, ah, who gives a shit?
I got Dracula in space to worry about.
And you know what? I'm going to watch Dracula in Space. I want to see if they learned anything from this one. Maybe this time they wrote the script more than one day at a time.
Well, Jeff, we're getting close for Christmas.
Oh, I thought we were going to put him on the naughty list, Jay.
No, that'll be next. First, yeah. we got to do close for Christmas. Reviews. You know what? One thing I will say, most of the reviews of this were pretty bad, so I'm glad that we all kind of shared that this movie fucking sucks.
Oh, Jay, I found some glowing reviews of this.
4 stars. Christmas version of I Know What You Did Last Summer mixed with Silent Night, Deadly Night. Literally, it is none of those things.
It's all those
things. It is none of those.
Oh, boy. See, this is reinvigorating Jay. These reviews are going to get his blood pressure back up.
All right, so that was one of mine.
All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
I had to troll some serious, deep movie discussion threads for this shit, Jay, so thank me now. Proof that indie horror is still alive and well. I went into I Know What You Did Last Christmas expecting a cheap knockoff cash-in title. What I got was a tight...
You got a cheap knockoff cash-in title.
What I got was a tight... mean-spirited little holiday slasher that understands exactly what it is. The snowy isolation works. The runtime doesn't waste a second.
The snowy isolation.
And the runtime doesn't waste a second. The tension between the former friends feels authentic. Not CW glossy, but messy and bitter. and the central concept, a Christmas prank gone horribly wrong, taps into that uniquely cruel side of holiday nostalgia.
Prank.
It's lean. It's nasty. It doesn't over-explain. You could correct that too. It doesn't explain at all.
Yeah. You're right. It doesn't overly explain.
For a 70-minute indie, this is shockingly effective. 5 stars for doing more with less. I saw this review, and after hearing what Jay said about this weekend, I was like, this is going to give him a stroke.
3.5. This movie was fairly good overall, but it was definitely very predictable at times. There were a few scenes that caught me off guard, which I did enjoy. I don't know what could have caught you off guard.
Oh boy, you need to wait.
It also felt very similar to I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh jeez.
Overall, thought the movie was pretty good.
Pretty good.
3.5 stars.
Righteous, brother, righteous.
And I've saved my favorite one for last.
Oh, I got a doozy for you for last. The hidden gem of the streaming era. This is why I scroll Tubi at 1 a.m. I Know What You Did Last Christmas feels like one of those early 2000s direct-to-DVD slashers, but smarter. The secret from last year premise gives it a ticking clock of paranoia. Paranorman. Every character feels guilty. No one feels safe. And the holiday aesthetic, chef's kiss.
Mwah.
Christmas lights glowing in dark hallways. Snow swallowing sound, whatever that means. It's swallowing out there by the hot tub.
The one scene with snow in it.
Festive decor turns sinister. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you covered that with the Christmas lights. It understands that Christmas horror works best when it contrasts warmth and cruelty. Absolute streaming gem.
Six 6.5 out of 10.
Oh yeah, I like where this is going. The last one was 5 stars, by the way.
How has this idea not been done before?
How hasn't it?
Take I Know What You Did Last Summer, set it during the winter period, and then tie a big buddy bloody festive bow on things.
Take it and push it somewhere else.
It's an idea that still only results in a slasher whodunit, but thanks to a tightly told story,
tight,
good direction and visuals, a mix of characters with some depth,
yes,
and actors who care,
yes,
it is quite an enjoyable flick.
Yes.
Written by C.M. Wright and directed by Gregory William Randolph Jr. Ooh. The film stars all the people. They are a group of friends reuniting for Christmas party at a secluded house, which should be cause for celebration, except each is there because they all received a note claiming that someone knows what they did last Christmas. I don't think it actually says those words at all.
No.
So what did happen last Christmas? A cruel prank that went wrong, resulting in someone dying. Each person swore to keep their part in things secret, but it seems as though someone in the group wants to get it all out there. Or maybe something far more sinister is going on. Has the person they killed returned from the dead to dish out their revenge? No, that's never thought of once. Happily, I Know What You Did Last Christmas borrows from the original 90s classic film and not the supernatural third entry. There is a killer on the loose and one that wants to punish the group for what they did, and one that just so happens to be dressed in a Santa Claus outfit. Cue murder, mayhem, and festivities all around. I really enjoyed this film, and all because it keeps it so simple. It doesn't hang about introducing everyone as they arrive to the... It literally does!
No, Jay, it doesn't.
And through flashbacks, revealing what happened a year before. Over the film's runtime, we learn more about each character, giving them more substance. In most cases, there are a few who don't get the same attention and care.
So much fucking substance.
Which deepens the mystery and makes the whodunit aspect quite engaging.
It's a deep mystery. And no one done it. Nothing was done.
Alongside that, we have inventive deaths that utilize the festive period. All right. Plenty of blood. And the final act that is energetic, believable, and fun. There's nothing new here, and it probably won't live too long in the memory, but it's not really trying to be something fresh or remarkable. It is a wholly unoriginal but entertaining festive slasher that showcases effort. That alone makes it a worthwhile watch.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah. You ready for this shit? This movie respects the formula. 4.5 stars. My Krabby Patty secret formula.
Ooh.
Isolated location. Check.
I mean, I guess.
Group with shared guilt. Check. Moral consequences. Check. Brutal payoff. Check. The beauty of this film is its simplicity. It doesn't try to reinvent the genre. It just executes it cleanly. The short runtime actually helps. No filler subplots. No unnecessary romance. Just escalating dread and payback. It actually has both of those things. In a world where slashers are bloated and self-aware, this one plays it straight.
This one was not aware of anything.
It's refreshing. That's true. It can't be self-aware if it's not aware, Jay. All right, you got any more?
I'm all done.
The grimy indie. You can feel the indie bones in this thing, and that's a compliment. There's something raw about it. You know, the shittiness. The performances feel unpolished in a way that makes the panic more believable. The house doesn't look like a movie set. It looks like a real place. One, a movie set is a real place. Two, it was just a house they rented.
It was filmed on location.
The tension isn't glossy. It's uncomfortable. What is all this glossy tension?
I don't.
This is like the third guy who's mentioned it being glossy. Holiday horror should feel wrong. This does.
It does feel wrong.
5 stars for atmosphere alone. And now, I got a pair of reviews that I specifically picked to kill Jay. So we'll see how his heart holds up to these shocks. Christmas horror deserves more respect.
Agreed. Yeah, sure.
We have Black Christmas, Krampus.
Sure, why not?
Better Watch Out.
Yeah, okay.
And this that stands above all three. I Know What You Did Last Christmas earns its place in the guilt-ridden holiday nightmare subgenre. It captures that strange emotional pressure cooker feeling of Christmas.
It certainly earned its place.
Old friendships, unresolved history, and fake cheer. The title may sound cheeky, but the movie plays it straight, and that's why it works. Put this in your December horror rotation. If you have to drop out Black Christmas, go ahead. Yeah, I saw this and I was like, this might kill Jay. I'm going to include this for sure.
You said you have another one?
Oh, this is a part two. A follow-up. A review of the review, some might say. So people have asked me to go more in-depth about what I liked about this movie. Rightly, people questioning the sanity of this reviewer. It is a holiday horror masterpiece. I cannot believe this is a free streaming movie. I Know What You Did Last Christmas isn't just a solid indie slasher. It is one of the most effective modern holiday horror films in history. What could have been a gimmick title turns into something sharp, tense, and surprisingly emotional. This movie understands guilt. Not the glossy teen drama version.
Four.
Fucking everything is glossy. Real guilt. The kind that rots friendships from the inside. The kind that turns a Christmas reunion into a psychological minefield before the first drop of blood is even spilled. The snow-covered isolation isn't just aesthetic, it's thematic. The world feels buried. Sounds feel swallowed up in the emptiness. The Christmas lights don't feel
cozy.
That
was just bad sound mixing.
The Christmas lights don't make you feel cozy. They feel like something flickering over a crime scene. And the pacing? Perfect.
No notes.
At just over 70 minutes, it wastes nothing. Every scene builds tension. Every conversation feels loaded. When the things snap, they snap hard. There's no filler, no self-aware winking, no lazy genre satire. It plays the premise completely straight, and that confidence elevates it. The brilliance of this film is in its restraint. It doesn't over-explain the past. It lets suspicion simmer. It trusts the audience. And when the consequences arrive, they feel earned. Holiday horror works best when it weaponizes nostalgia, and this movie absolutely does. The decoration, the forced cheer, let's pretend everything's fine energy, all of it becomes sinister. This kind of scrappy, atmospheric indie, it goes on, that reminds you why you love horror in the first place. It doesn't need a massive budget. It doesn't need franchise ties. It just needs a strong hook, committed performances, and the nerves to follow through. 5 stars. A future cult classic. Blows Black Christmas, Krampus, any of your Christmas horror of the moment out of the water. I love describing a movie that's like 60 years old as a horror of the moment.
I had that thought as well. Those reviews written by CM Wright.
I honestly would not surprise me if it was somebody who worked on the movie. I could see that. But anyway, I weaponized that last section of this segment to kill Jay.
Did a pretty good job. There was a line I forget. It like something about like the nostalgia of like Christmas slash like it uses the nostalgia of Christmas slash. I didn't get the exact line you said.
Weaponizes it.
But then earlier on said is not being like self-aware slasher. Mm-hmm. Which is it? Does it use the nostalgia or doesn't it?
Who knows, Jay? Who knows? Just when I saw these two things together, this movie being 5 stars and Black Christmas being a movie of the moment, I knew I had to pull this.
All right, naughty list. Where do we...
Gimp Santa.
Where do we want to put Gimp Santa? Honestly, Jeff, I think we found a worse Santa than Santa Claus CLAWS.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm pretty sure Sam would get his ass kicked by any of these people. Maybe not Terrence Shade. Although I think Terrence Shade might be able to take him, actually.
Terrence Shade might actually be able to take both of them. They are the most incompetent surprisingly, people we've seen.
Surprisingly inept killers for pulling off as much as they do during the movie. I mean, these guys would get washed by any competent killer on this list.
Yeah, I think they might legit be the bot. They somehow kill people, but it's because the other people are just as stupid as they are.
In Trey's case, even dumber somehow.
I'm going to go beat off in this hot tub.
Hopefully they have a fuse box in this place. Jay's slumping further and further down. Soon he'll be on the floor.
It's time for this.
Carpet day!
Huh?
No!
God, I hope it's not more different flavored Oreos.
It's not this time.
This time? Oh, no.
So I heard they redid the Baja Cabo Citrus flavor.
New formula?
So yeah, new formula. Mm. I got you zero.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And then I got us peanut butter cinnamon roll M&Ms.
Interesting.
Cherry chocolate cupcake M&Ms.
Interesting.
And lemon meringue pie M&Ms.
Wow. M&M's going all out with the flavors. They're tired of getting punked by all the other candies. Like, we could do flavors too.
Yeah, let's do them.
Get a couple of these. Everybody knows you got to get a couple M&M's. Just one won't do, Jay.
Yep.
Well, these aren't boding well. They're already sticky.
Never like to see that.
No, especially not in a hard candy. You don't want them to be sticky right out of the package.
I wonder if M&M's has their own tray.
Oh, man. Oh, you know, it would not
coming in the
M&M me.
Bags.
Although I would say it's more likely for those fucking Thanksgiving Oreos.
Ooh, M&M's, I'm going to come in those later.
Hopefully someone killed him before he had the chance. Ooh, a pleasant cherry cupcake.
Yeah, let's start with this. Let's start with cherry chocolate cupcake.
Oh boy, they're sticky.
Like I said, Trey got his hands on them.
Mmm. Kind of like a red velvet. Pretty good.
Not getting much cherry, but yeah, the chocolate's like an interesting flavor.
Hmm. Yeah, not bad. Which one do you want to do next? Jay can't chew as fast these days because of how his soul was drained by I Know What You Did Last Christmas.
We'll do the lemon meringue ones next.
Hmm. Weirdly smaller than all the other ones. Also crunchy.
I don't like that at all.
Mm. I don't like the fact that they crunch, but they do taste lemony.
Yeah, once you kind of get through the initial, it's not bad, but.
Mm. It's almost like a crunch bar. Weird.
Yeah. All right, let's try peanut butter cinnamon roll.
Mm. All right, let's do it.
All right.
Mmm. 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 I don't know. Not really getting much cinnamon roll.
I'm getting peanut butter, but yeah, I'm not getting cinnamon roll.
Yeah, I mean, I love peanut butter M&Ms. They're good.
Yeah. But
yeah, not tasting anything different, really. I'm going to have to put the lemon ones on the bottom, I think, just because of the texture. Weird for an M&M. Then probably the cherry cupcake ones and then peanut butter.
Yeah, all three of those. Like, none of them are terrible. They're all just kind of duds.
Yeah.
You got the dud! All right, let's wash it down with some new formula Baja Cabo Citrus.
Spending our winters in Cabo.
Oh, yes, we'll be spending...
We'll be overwintering down in Cabo. Hmm. Good smell.
Tropical citrus punch.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's kind of a strong fruit punchy style flavor.
It's better. Better than the last version.
The last time we had this, I literally can't remember what it tasted like.
It was not special.
Like,
I remember that.
I don't think I would get this again as opposed to like a regular Baja, but like, it's not bad.
I mean, they've never dethroned original Baja. All the versions they've tried, just like you hit it out of the park on the first one.
Yeah, like that's all right.
It's okay. I'd say, I don't know. This is probably better than the lemon M&M's, but then I put the other two M&M's above this probably.
Yeah. It's tough. That's the thing. Nothing's terrible, but like
nothing stands
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I wouldn't yeah.
And I mean,
none of these are a Thanksgiving Oreo, but also none of these are a Sour Patch Kid Oreo, which is one of the best things we've had on this show.
I there's nothing really to say about these. Just kind of meh.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, tell us your thoughts on I Know What You Did Last Christmas or coming in hot tubs or anything else. horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Social media, we are all the places at
literally.
Horror for Holidays. That's horror the number four holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Subscribe, hit the bell for our archive channel where you can go back and listen to all the old episodes. Leave us reviews on your podcatcher of choice. Apple Podcasts is the ones we generally read, I would say, most often.
5 stars.
Yes. Zero stars if you could.
Only five star reviews. Title your review 0 stars if I could. That way we'll know you're a real sicko.
Yes. But yeah, we're not going to bother reading if it's anything less than 5 stars.
Yep. Yeah. If you have anything you have to say to us, it has to be a 5-star review. I'm not going to read a 1-star review.
Honestly, we're on year 4 of this podcast, so if you think that we care what you're going to say, we don't.
The quality just keeps going down. I mean, we're not taking anyone's advice.
We're not. We talk about finding new sub-basements in the movies we watch. We're still finding new sub-basements of podcasting to bust into, too. Yes, you wait and see. That's half the fun, I think, for some of our fans, Jay, is seeing how bad the show can get.
Have you guys heard the lost episode of Horror for the Holidays? It was just like Jay left the recording equipment on and left the room for 30 minutes.
It was 90 minutes of Jeff breathing into the mic and Jay crunching various treats right next to the microphone. Oh, you know, that thing that everyone loves on the internet, Jay, when you eat into the mic.
Yum, 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 yum.
Renowned. But yeah, I mean, you know where to find us. Christmas Podcast Network, thank you for somehow hosting this show still.
Man, you know, sometimes I think we watch this stuff so they don't have to. I think that is the service we provide the Christmas Podcast Network.
Honestly, I think you're right, because you know, you wouldn't find people like Jerry D down in this kind of shit.
Nope.
We're the ones who handle this.
They'll be like, oh, here's some trash I saw. It's like, we got it covered.
Send it down the chute to Jeff and Jay's dumpster.
We'll let you know if it's any good at all.
Yeah. That's the perfect image of us. We need to have that art made. Just the two of us as like obese as hell raccoons sorting through trash boxes of Tubi horror movies. in a dumpster labeled Horror for the Holidays.
That's us. That's us. We're the shit raccoons. But yeah, otherwise, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer when we...
Dracula.
We'll talk about whether or not Dracula can get wet.
He can, Jay.
Just keep him out of the cum-filled hot tub.
I was going to say, he also gets other people wet.
Yeah. thanks for listening. See you next week.
Goodbye.